Welcome back to Can We Fix It? I am your host, Maura Walsh, joined as always by my co-host, Jennifer Douglas. How you doing, lady?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Living the dream, as always. Here's the thing that I want our viewers to understand, or our listeners, rather, to understand, is that when you tell us to do things, we're like fucking children, okay? We will do things to spite you. You don't own us, all right? So somebody was very upset that we had the audacity to have a legislator's husband on last week. They said, wow, you guys must really be scraping the bottom of the barrel. That's what they said. They said, I've never heard of this guy. And we said, oh, yeah, fuck you. We do what we want. We make people celebrities, okay? You don't fucking tell us what to do, and can we fix it? Isn't that right, Jennifer?
That is 100% correct, Maura.
So
100%. And if you don't know who Jeff Levy is, that's a you problem. That's not an us problem.
Right. Which brings us to this week's guest. If you don't know them yet, you fucking should. We are joined this week by Twitter guru Jackie Goldman, who is the person who is the District 5 Democratic Committee person in Providence, and also is one of the most tireless and dedicated activists in Rhode Island. And we wanted to bring them on so that you guys would understand how easy it is to get into activism and how fun. And I think Jackie's the perfect person to help guide you through this. So Jackie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I am honored to be here.
So I have followed you on Twitter for a while now, at Jackie Goldman RI, in case anybody needs to follow this person immediately. And one of the things that I love about your Twitter feed is that A, you do all of the hard work for me so that I don't have to. And B, you make a lot of things digestible. So there are a lot of bills that go through the Rhode Island House and Senate each week. I was on the House side, and I'm going to be honest, I could barely keep track of those, let alone both, you know, House and Senate. So how do you do it, and why?
Yeah, so that is a really good question. And, you know, this is something that has, like, my political involvement in Rhode Island is actually relatively new to this extent. So there's some backstory here. So I have known Samantha Weiser, who's State Senator Sam Bell's wife, since I was 4.
Nice.
So when I'm in Rhode Island, yeah, it's great. Like, if you ever want, I can show you some very cute photos of us in preschool together.
Oh, love
it. Yeah, Samantha's the best. And then through her, I got to know Sam, canvassed for him only once in 2018. And then sort of in between them, they'd always let me know, hey, this bill needs a lot of attention. Do you want to go and testify? Whatever. So like a lot of people, I'd go down to the courthouse and have people yell at me that I was going to hell because I wanted abortion to happen and be legal and protected under the law. And so I was kind of plugged into Rhode Island politics. And I've gotten more and more so, especially over the pandemic, when honestly, I live alone. I don't have a partner. So this is something that I cared about and had time to do. Sam asked me to run on his district committee because, I mean, first of all, I represent the, like, you know, hipster part of his constituency. So not 27-year-old, you know, dumbass hipster living in, you know, Fed Hill West End area. But that also, I do care a lot of things. And like for work, also am really politically involved because the work that I do is in harm reduction, overdose prevention, and stuff like that. And so then when the election, so I canvassed for him all summer, canvassed for Tiara Mack a few times, Kendra Anderson a few times, did some other phone banks, and just really got to know the different candidates and the things that seemed possible in Rhode Island. And then, like, you know, I've always had these really lefty ideas, but then in September when I got elected, I also joined Providence VSA, where I'm on the political electoral committee and do a lot of work there with Sam Bell and then also Representative David Morales. So then he reached out to some folks who seemed interested in policy this past winter to help him develop a bunch of different policy ideas. And I think I came up with, you know, with a bunch, and a bunch of them have been submitted, which is super exciting. But then also we at DSA and also David were talking about wanting to follow the bills that go through the House and the Senate so that we can get just plain old everyday people involved when it comes to testimony. Because it really matters that everyday people are involved in the political process. So like most things that happen to me, I don't just go for, like, I don't do like a small amount. I just like go headfirst into all of it. And so now I'm probably at, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like 15 to 20 hours a week of like DSA politics stuff in my life. And that probably happens because frankly, I have nothing better to do. And so like, I will check the daily introductions. I pick out the ones that are most interesting to me. If you think my Twitter is a lot, you should see my database that I've built in Google, which is like conditional formatting and drop down menus that like has a lot of information on these bills, days that they're introduced, committees, sponsors, how I personally feel about them. And then, you know, I saw Steve Alquist doing some Twitter introductions, and I was like, you know what? I can do this, but make it much dumber. So he just tweets basic information about the bill. I then will just, you know, straight up say, fuck this bill, fuck this person, this is dumb. Because I love sharing my opinion and somehow come to believe that, you know, the Rhode Island political Twitter sphere should listen to my, you know, should listen to my hot takes. And it's funny because before I started doing that, I had maybe 200 Twitter followers. In the past week and a half alone, I've gotten 150 new followers. literally only tweeting about niche Rhode Island politics and then every so often dumbass shit posts.
Well, so here's the thing is there's really an appetite for that.
I'm having a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah, and there's an appetite for that. And that's one of the things that we're trying to get people a little more invested in is like, first of all, organizationally, I feel like you and I are very kindred spirits. I had an ex who used to say, hi, my name is Maura, and I like cubbies and bins and totes and baskets and nooks and like, because I do, I love organization. So like, as you're talking about your drop down menus, I'm like, ooh, I want you to share me on this document so bad.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, we're not expecting.
Sorry.
Oh, no worries. We're not expecting everybody.
Being a data scientist.
Right.
So by training, I'm an epidemiologist, which I always joke is a degree in professional spreadsheets.
Yes!
And so, you know, like, I love spreadsheets. I love metadata. It's just really clean and neat and whatever. So I'm glad we're kindred spirits in this way.
Well, and it's one of those things where, like, not everybody who gets involved is going to get involved to the same extent. But it's funny you should bring up Sam Weiser, because when she was knocking doors for her husband, she knocked on my best friend's door. And she started her pitch with, you know, Sam Bell. And my best friend said, oh, actually, my best friend is Representative Maura Walsh. I already know who I'm voting for. I'm voting for Sam Bell. You don't have to worry about it. Why don't you come back with yard signs at your earliest convenience and you can put me down for a one. And Sam Weiser was like, that was like the easiest door. That was like such a nice, easy door. You know, my best friend is often, you know, she might not know all the bills by name or number or description, but she, after, you know, the last 4 years of me being at the State House and the several years before that of me being an activist, she also has gotten invested. You know, when I would come home from the State House and I would say, oh, you're never going to guess who did something stupid today, she would guess. She would be like, ooh, was it Jimmy McLaughlin? Was it Doc Corvese? Was it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So I'm starting to get to that level where I can look at the daily introductions and see the groups of people who work together and then just be like, oh, I'm going to fucking hate this bill. Or I'm going to say, this bill is stupid. So, like, for example, there was a bill that I introduced this past week that specifically makes it so you can hunt birds with a crossbow.
And oh, fuck yeah!
Why is this anyone's priority?
Excuse you!
To, like, a much more important thing is that, the you know, it's hard to get involved, right? Like, with federal stuff, you know, there's a ton of news coverage. People put a lot of attention to it. And then, you know, but people are not thinking, man, I live in the smallest state. I should really pay attention to what's going on at the state level. And they're just, like, like you look at the state websites and they're hard to navigate, and you read these legislative summaries, and first of all, they don't always tell you what's in the bill, which is bad, and also like clearly a tactic to like obscure what's actually going on in this legislation, but it makes it hard to digest. And like academia has this same problem where people don't actually make anything digestible for the everyday person. And I think that this is a major issue, and that's why I love getting involved, so I can be able to talk about this, because you can see people getting involved when they understand what's happening. And so it does happen through close personal contacts and stuff like that. Because how else are you going to find out about it?
Exactly. So, I mean, seeing as how you do such a great legislative roundup, and just so we're clear, you guys, they've been doing session for what, like 2 months, January, February, barely 2 months. And there are hundreds with an S of bills that are going through the House and Senate right now. I would love it.
There were 600 this past week.
There were what this past week?
There were 600 between the House and the Senate this past week.
Right. Because nobody is judicious and has any understanding of how to, like, make executive decisions. But I would love for you to give me, I mean, that crossbow bird bill is fucking, like, that is so America. Like, yeah, I can hunt a bird with a gun, but that's boring. I want to hunt it with a fucking crossbow, like Vikings. Like, all right, dude, do your thing. So I would love for you to give me one just absolutely insane bill that you've seen this year so far, and one bill that you're, like, super fucking down for.
Okay, so, God, it's hard to just pick one that's super fucking absurd because there's so many. I'm scrolling through my database right now. Here's my favorite, and I'm really sad it didn't get passed. I was trying to get the DSA behind this bill, but, you know, there just wasn't capacity. David Bennett, I, like, only know people's last name, introduced a bill that would make R&B the official state genre of music, and I wanted that so fucking badly, and I was going to see if we could propose an amendment specifically to make Miguel's Do You Like Drugs the official anthem for the state. Unfortunately, and this is Bill 5123 in the House, it just got held for further study. But I was really excited for R&B to be the official music genre of the state.
Yo, I am devastated. And also, I fucking love Dave Bennett. That is such a hard left field move for him. He's a nurse. He usually puts in, like, very, like, smart, well thought out bills, like having to do with healthcare and like access. And then he's like, and also, I fucking love hip hop. Like, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. Get down, my friend.
Yeah, I was really excited about that one. And once again, as I said, sad that nothing happened. And the bill, well, there's technically two of them. The ones that I care most about are the House and the Senate bills that would establish Medicare for All. And, that is what I'm really excited about. Yeah, and that's one of the things that's taking up a lot of my time is also DSA's trying to get a big campaign for this. Because, you know, Moira, I remember that you have introduced this in the past.
I did.
There's never been, like, a big boots-on-the-ground campaign to try to get this going. And so that's one of the things that we want to do is go on the weekends. People are knocking doors and talking to people about Medicare for All. We're rounding up testimony and, like, not just of activists, but of everyday people who understand that the healthcare system is completely broken. Like, I know that I have my own healthcare story of why I want this passed. I know everyone else does. And, like, you can't come at me and tell me that it's going to cost us more because it won't. And it'll end the, like, weird-ass private insurance that we have in Rhode Island. I don't think a lot of people realize that, like, you know, Medicare, whatever, the MCOs, is, like, all privatized. Like, Medicare is privatized in this state.
Yeah, we love
doing
all
that shit.
I also have this theory that a lot of the reason that we privatize shit isn't necessarily, like, the monetary reason so much as it's the buck stops over there. You know, like, I don't want to revamp the SNAP system and the cash assistance system. So I'm going to have Deloitte do it so that if it goes terribly wrong, I can be like, God damn it, Deloitte. You know what I mean?
I don't
like,
know.
Vaccines.
I think you can always trace it back to money. I mean, the fact is, CVS, Aetna's in the state. You know that they're lobbyists put a lot, you know, and like these corporations put a ton of money into the state house, you know. And I think that if we were to ever, they will never let this get to a vote, because among constituents, these bills are super popular. And, but the thing is that, like, the various politicians get too much insurance lobby money. It's upsetting to think that this is the kind of barrier that's in the way of people getting access to healthcare. But I do think that ultimately it does come back to the money.
Oh, I think it's for sure a combination effort. You know what I mean? I think there's something very nice for them to be able to never have to take responsibility for anything. In our defense, in terms of the not being a big rollout for Medicare for All, the speaker was Nick Mattiello back then, and the odds of that passing were, I would say, a snowball's chance in Texas, but we now know that that that's a thing. So maybe we're going to have to come up with a different...
This is not me putting down your work. This is me saying the capacity to do it. Like, I think that there is, you know, now there's like organizations that are taking this as their fight, especially because it does feel more feasible. And so it's like, if we can mount a campaign, we're going to mount a campaign.
Oh, and I wasn't taking it that way. It's just, I think that you're right. Okay. And I think that this year is going to be, like, I think if any year we had a shot, it would be this year. Like, I, you know... Jen and I joke, we talk a lot of shit, but the tides are definitely changing up there. Like that, when that housing discrimination ordinance passed, I was deeply confused, happy, obviously, but deeply confused. I was like, wait, really? But you just let us have that? You just, okay. Like, I'm immediately suspicious when they do good things now. It's also, I love that you brought up Medicare for All, because actually on the show in a couple of weeks, we are going to have Medicare for All champions, Linda Ujifuza and Dr. J. Mark Ryan on to do like a dumb monkey version of single payer. Explain it to me like I were like a drunk monkey, and then maybe we can all understand. Now
I look up to the two of them so much. I told Linda this. I heard you talk about healthcare on a call, and I just think you're really, really cool. And like once texted Sam, I was like, I really want to meet Linda. And Sam Bell. And so Sam Bell sent this email with no context that just said, Linda, meet Jackie. Jackie, meet Linda. Which I love that Sam did that. And then I went on to explain who I was, and now she and I talk about Medicare for All and campaigning and stuff like that, which is great. But I think that, you know, Mark and Linda and the people at PNHP, which is the Physicians for a National Health Plan, are wonderful. And they have such a good ability to take this bill and make it, you know, just totally understandable.
Exactly. I mean, that was always the trouble up there, was trying to like explain it to your colleagues and watching their eyes glaze over. Now, listeners, that we have given you homework, you have to follow Jackie Goldman RI on Twitter so that you can start to understand the bills and how to get more involved, you know, how to testify, things like that. Now that you've had your vegetables for the episode, now it's time for dessert. I know what you all are here for, okay? And yes, we said that we were going to do things to spite you, but also, you think that I was going to let Mayor Hot Dog get off without a fucking pass? Absolutely not. Okay, so on deck, and Jackie, I'm so glad that you are going to be joining us for this. We are going to be going over the fresh batch of Lieutenant Governor episodes. You're welcome, you guys. You're fucking welcome. Jackie, as the guest here, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Ooh, okay. So the first one that I want to talk about is someone who moved back to the state in June, so clearly long-time investment in the state, and is a CFO at an all-boys Catholic school that, and I quote, is confident that the power of the gospel can meet the challenges of the future.
No.
He mentions that he has no political experience, right? No political experience. At least he has a cover letter and a resume. That being said, his resume is just a list of jobs without actually mentioning what he does at any of them. And, you know, so first of all, you know, not sure that he's really all that qualified to run a state, but also this is not the person that I want in control of any part of the government.
Dude, how deeply sad is it that we literally have to be like, at least he included a cover letter and a resume, because that's how low the fucking bar is on these people. They're so bad at this.
Like, truly, like, I recognize that I'm on the younger side. That being said, I was always told cover letter, resume, and that on your resume, you actually write out what the fuck you were doing at those jobs.
Yeah, exactly. But we also know that a lot of those white guy jobs, they don't actually do things. You know, it's just a title, and then you, like, wear a suit, and you, like, walk around an office saying things like, working hard or hardly working, am I right? And then you'd fucking bang your secretary and you go home to your wife. Like, a lot of these people, the reason they're not listing what they did at work is because they didn't do anything.
And I just think about the fact that, like, you know, these are people who've had, like, career success and are probably making good money and still don't know how to apply for jobs. And this just makes me very frustrated as someone who, you know, has spent lots of time applying to things and working very hard to craft a beautiful resume and CV and all that. So I just, you know.
Right. I had no idea that I didn't have to try this hard. Exactly. That is exactly how I feel reading these. Oh, my God. Jen, what do you got for me?
Oh, I've got our good friend Stav on this one. This is a guy who was a teenager. He opens it up by telling a lovely story of his youth. And that when he was a teenager and visiting his girlfriend, the daughter of former Rhode Island governor and U.S. Senator John O. Pastore, he felt it very important to add this. The thought of one day applying for the position of lieutenant governor would never have crossed my mind, nor his, I suspect. All right, first off, you don't open your cover letter talking about your high school girlfriend when you're, like, pushing, what, 60 years old, looking for a job. It's a little bit frightening.
That's and weird. That girl should really change her number if she hasn't yet.
Exactly.
No, I don't think I realized he was, because, like, I'm relatively new in Rhode Island. I don't think I realized that he was that old. I figured that if you were talking about a high school girlfriend, that, like, you might not be over yet. you know, that you'd be in, like, your 20s or 30s. I did not realize he was that old.
And I would have also thought the same thing, figuring, okay, he's bringing up a high school girlfriend. Maybe he's, you know, early 20s.
Except the governor's John Pastore.
That part got me. But also, there's been a disturbing trend on this round of resumes, too, where these old white guys are throwing their headshots in to all of their resumes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So if you scroll down to his second half where he talks about my public service background and ... a bit more, you get to see a photo of him. And he talks about his lifelong accomplishment. I mean, he's not horrible. But then there's this part at the end that really fucking scares me. He starts talking about this thing called the project and how they nurtured the project. And the project was like an inspiration. And the project has gotten huge. I'm afraid the project's a cult.
I was just getting. I was just thinking that.
No, he says it right above. It's the Open Government Video Project. I mean, it would be much better if it were a cult, but I do just think it's using on-demand 24/7 video recordings to look at local government in action. But I truly wish it were a cult. That would be way more fun.
It'd be so much more fun. Also, he should have probably led with that because it seems a lot more important than some of the other things that he's done.
I mean, I don't know, fucking a former governor's daughter when you were a teenager obviously is one of the primary qualifiers for being the lieutenant governor. That's how Dan McKee got the job. Did you guys not know that? So you have to fuck a governor's daughter or date a governor's daughter. That's part of Rhode Island lore. I don't know what you guys are. Is that just what they told me? As to why I couldn't have the lieutenant governor's seat? Because this makes more sense now that I'm saying it out loud. Now that I'm saying it. Oh, they're like, oh, you never dated a governor or a governor's progeny? Oh, you're disqualified. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I think I was under the same assumptions as you, Moira, and I figured that, you know, the reason why I didn't throw my hat into the ring is because I haven't had the opportunity to do this yet. That was the only thing that stopped me, truly.
Those who have not banged a governor's daughter shall not move on to governor. Sorry, all.
So my first one, and here's the thing, is we usually do this anonymously, right? Like, we don't say names. But fuck this guy. I have absolutely no problem saying that my first person is Adam Carbone. Now, you might not know him because his name isn't famous, just he is. He talks in his cover letter about how he ran for mayor in Cranston, and he's a firm believer in shooting for the stars. It's a very backwards approach, and I know this is a long shot, but we miss 100% of the shots we don't take. Wow, you really fucking nailed that, buddy. He approached the campaign with lightheartedness, humor, and energy, and was inspiring to a lot of people. Now, if any of you don't necessarily remember a particularly inspiring male candidate in the Cranston mayor race, this is the motherfucker who wore a hot dog suit to every single debate and ran in a goddamn hot dog suit. How the fuck you have the audacity to then say that you inspired people maybe to fucking kill themselves or move out of this state? That's possible. But the idea that you think that your hot dog fucking campaign inspired people? Eat my shorts. Then there's this weird ass run on deeply confusing paragraph at the end that I'm just going to read to you verbatim because it sounds like word salad. A good comparison to me is the late great Bob Healy, but for the younger generation. I think this is something nobody would expect, and it would be a very interesting story. People nowadays are very drawn to political outsiders, which is exactly what I am. What I'll bring to this job is 100% authenticity. I will be fun, easygoing, and I'll be someone people can't wait to talk to. Well, yeah, if you're in a fucking hot dog suit because they're hungry. I will follow your guidance and do the best I can do.
You're going to use the wrong version of two? And I just want to point that out.
I will make Rhode Island proud. You and I together will be the next Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker. And I just want to point out, because the nerd in me is infuriated by this. So you're going to be the next Obi-Wan and Skywalker? Yeah, so what, you're going to just disappear into a pile of fucking cloaks at the worst possible time and never come back to be useful or helpful again? And despite the fact that you know who my dad is, you're not going to fucking tell me? That is a terrible analogy, my friend.
I can't get over the wrong version of two.
I just realized that as I was rereading it.
I know, we both gasped at the same time. We're like, oh, no.
My first question for this candidate, actually, is he quoting Wayne Gretzky, or is he quoting Michael Scott
I love what you said, Jackie, about like all mediocre white men, he quotes Wayne Gretzky. Also,
I did say that, and I very stand. Look, as someone who is, especially on Tinder, every single like mediocre 25 to 35 year old has in their profile some quote to The Office, whether it's that you may miss 100% of the shots you don't take, or Jim and Pam. And it's like, God, I'm so sick of mediocre white dudes thinking that The Office is a personality.
Yes, liking The Office is not a full, you still have to have qualities. You can't just, the last thing that I want to mention about him, and now this one can go one of two ways, okay? Because his signature, now if he signed this like on a phone or like a UPS package thing, like, then that is a fine electronic signature. Otherwise, it looks like he put the pen in his mouth. Like, his hands were tied behind his back, and he just put the pen in his mouth and was like, all right, I fucking got this. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to be my lieutenant governor when your signature looks like that. That's not, you got to be a grown-up. You got to write your name like a grown-up. Jackie, I believe you're up next.
I have more things I could dunk on this guy for, but I will let it go.
We have so many more people to shit on.
Who very much is just emblematic of like very wealthy people who don't know shit about politics trying to use money to buy their way to things. So there's this guy who put it in an application. The first thing that he highlights is that he got an award from a certain town chamber of commerce for charitable undertaking. That's like the first thing. When you go through his resume, he also highlights that he is like a member of a Harvard law firm. We all know that guys that went to Harvard love talking about Harvard. And he belongs to not one, but two country clubs. And also said that he has no political ambition. So, like, I don't know why this guy is applying or whether he thinks he can just buy his way into office. But I have no interest in someone who has just used money to get to where he is without any political savvy or any political know-how, you know, bringing up Harvard and as many country clubs.
Can I ask a dumb poor person question? What do you do at a country club? Oh my God, dead silence. Dead silence. Fucking yeah, pipe some crickets in.
I will be honest and come out with this, that my grandmother has belonged to a country club before. It's pretty much just golf, you know?
So then why do you need to belong to two of them?
Is one golf course not enough for you?
Is golf?
You know?
I don't understand. Oh my
blows
God.
Blows my mind.
Yeah,
and
no.
I kind of get one if you want to, like, hang out and, you know, with some people that you know who are probably really white and play golf, whatever. But two?
Yeah.
I really do love golf. Oh, I know.
Same. Like, I hate golf so much and for so many reasons that I could probably talk about for about an hour or two. But the fact that this man not only belongs to one country club, but two is, you know, I mean, but maybe that's why he thinks he should be lieutenant governor.
Yes. That's, I mean, I'll be honest, the fact that I don't play golf did impede my ability to relate to some people up there, because that's pretty universal among politicians. So I guess maybe it is a qualifier. Jen, you're up. Who do you have next? Don't give me a name. Just give me, like, the garbage resume.
I'm not going to. It is our youngest candidate so far, who is a senior in high school.
Word.
He's interested in the position of lieutenant governor. He understands that he may seem like an unusual candidate, but he believes he provides a unique perspective as a young person. Again, this is a male candidate because no young woman candidate would ever come out at this age and think that they could possibly be lieutenant governor, because we tell our young women that they cannot do that. But he works at a pizza place that his uncle owns, and he tells Lieutenant Dan that, I'm sure you know of it. So I'm assuming that pizza places in Northern Ireland, this one is very especially well-known, although I don't think it really is.
I just want you to know that you Freudian slipped and called him Lieutenant Dan.
Goddamn. It's time. It's all I'm ever going to call him for the rest of my life is Lieutenant Dan. He's on track and field, so he can run real fast. Future business leaders of America, Bible school. He does Bible camp. Ooh. Bible camp. I can't imagine spending my free time at a camp with Bibles, but I guess that's fine for him. Honestly, the more I'm looking at it, he's probably more well-qualified than many people that have already applied for this position. And he cleans and organizes pizza pans, pizza boxes, and makes specialty pizzas. And that right there is kind of a guy after my own heart. So,
yeah, but the thing that I'm worried about is as an 18-year-old, they're going to corrupt him because they're drunk all the time. And he can't drink. Oh, no, he's just going to be the forever designated driver.
He'll be the designated driver, but I can already tell you, I know the teenagers at this high school, they drink already. It's okay.
I do want to point out something important that you said, which is his resume and cover letter are actually better than many of the adults who apply.
Yeah, because he just learned it.
He did have a separate cover letter and resume and actually explained what he did at his various jobs, as opposed to some of these people who literally just listed without any explanation.
I also want to say that he said he received a 5, the highest possible grade, on the AP U.S. government exam. So he knows his U.S. government, you guys.
Which is more than I could say for some people that are already in government right now. So you know what? All good.
I believe I am up next, and I have a person who wrote their name at the top of their cover letter in, like, fairy tale font, which definitely got my attention. And the first sentence really caught my attention too. I have been contemplating with interest about the position of RI Lieutenant Governor. But wait, what? Fucking what? I don't. Okay. To be honest, I'm embarrassed about the current state of our government and the focus of our elected officials. Fucking okay. I'm gonna skip over a little bit because I just want to share with you this gem here. I have no previous political experience, but I've spent my entire life building a wealth of leadership experience, which has served me well. I believe that the core of good leadership lies in being a good listener and developing solid relationships with all stakeholders. That, coupled with an insatiable quest for knowledge and drive to succeed, has guided me through well-rounded careers to this point. Does it sound a little porny to you guys? Or is that just me?
Yeah, real dirty.
Like, what's up with the insatiable? Are you trying to date Dan, or are you trying to, like, be his lieutenant governor?
And I will bet you anything, it's insatiable quest was originally insatiable thirst, and then...
He also said, I would like to congratulate you on your ascension to the position of governor. Ascension spelt wrong. Guys, spell checks are on your computer. How are you still fucking this up? Sorry. That was mine. His resume did not bother me nearly as much as his cover letter did, but that's what I got for you.
But what I also think is interesting is when you look at this person's resume, right? Flowery language, whatever. He is just a naval guy. Like, that's not what I would have expected. And so, like, I thought that juxtaposition was kind of hilarious.
Oh, so, yeah. That was flowery, very weird.
Like, fun. Which is so bizarre, and then he's just a lifer. Although I do pretty much think that he's one of those Trump or fake news guys, because he does include the apparent bias of the media and the vitriol on social media platforms makes it impossible to sort through what is fact versus fiction. Well, those are actually critical thinking skills, which a lot of people try to develop over the course of their lives. And you obviously don't have them.
Yeah, so, but he's also a Six Sigma black belt. So, like, do we care? You know, I feel like the black belt kind of overrides any self-awareness problems that he has. Because he can just, if he finds that he comes to a problem, he can just karate chop. Is that wrong? Is that not how you do that?
I will say, I took martial arts. Yeah, I mean, well, I took martial arts from the age of four to 14. So maybe, should I just fight this guy? You know, and maybe that could be the test for lieutenant governor.
I mean, it's not like I haven't suggested Thunderdome style solutions before. If it's going to be hand-to-hand combat, I can also do that. I've only got a couple left, but what do you have next, Jackie?
Okay, I have one that, you know, truly touched my heart. So first of all, started with a Jane Goodall quote. I'm just scrolling down so I can read it to y'all. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. Jane Goodall. And this is a quote that this person has referenced over the years to family and children and taught while coaching. And then, you know, first of all, goes on to say, like, so many of these people, I'm not a politician, but that doesn't make me any less qualified. That being said, this person does not list a single job that she's ever had. And I don't understand these people who are like, I have experience. Well, tell me what your experience is. You know, and then she writes about how my journey in life has given me knowledge, experience, appreciation, and kindness. And my first reaction was just like, oh my God. I'm not sweet, I guess. But what I really love is at the bottom, she uses her children. Listen, being a parent, so important. Your children, though, should not be your reference as to why you should become the lieutenant governor. I've always joked with my children and said, if I was in any position of authority for Rhode Island, I would do this or that. Oh, imagine doing this, etc. It was never a quote-unquote joke, per se. Daydream, never an opportunity that is being presented like now. So when I told my children about submitting an intent, my oldest son said, Mom, obviously, duh, you were born to help people and change the world. Which, like, cute sentiment, but that vomit. To me does not make, first of all, vomit, second of all, not a qualification to be a lieutenant governor.
Also, he never said that. All right. This is a mom thing that moms do where they take a cute thing that their kid said and then they take it and make it way more fucking eloquent than it was. All right. Your kid didn't say that. Second of all, excuse me while I go remove my son from my references section on my resume. I didn't realize that that wasn't a thing that we were doing. My bad.
It's actually learned a lot about applying for jobs here between not using your kids as a resume and that it is also not required to sleep with a government official.
I really did like, I do like the idea of people using their family members as like cover, like the lady in the last round who's like, my husband says I'm really good at stuff. I'm like, why can't you just be good at stuff? Why does it have to be like women in general are like so incapable of complimenting ourselves that we will stoop to the level of like, my 8-year-old thinks I'm qualified. Be like, bitch, do you think you're qualified or not? Okay. We need to get some of this like mediocre white man confidence. I want the next round of candidates to be all women. I want it to be the most unqualified women you have ever fucking seen in your life. And I want them to be as confident as this fucking Obi-Wan asshole about like whether or not they deserve the job. Jen, what do you have?
I think if you are willing to show up to all of your political event as a hot dog, that really should make you qualified for office.
I mean, yes, at least we know he has no shame, which is something that you should really get rid of when you're in politics. I only have one left. So Jen, what's yours? And then I'll...
I'm out, man. I was more infuriated by most of these than I was even amused. So you guys go on with your two and I'm going to chime in because I have some comments on some of them, but I don't have one. I've done my big two.
All right. Let me find my guy. Of course it's a guy, Maura. Why are you even?
Of course it is. Yeah.
I don't even know why I
also out of like the 20 plus applicants, there were two or three women. Three. So, you know, more than likely they are going to be a guy.
Jackie, why don't you give me your next one while I'm scrolling unendingly?
I wrote detailed notes on all of them. I mean, another one that I like, you know, it's just a guy that pretty much his only experience is with like DOD contracts and is like trying to say that that is like enough experience to like, you know, become lieutenant governor. And just like his entire resume are like these massive DOD contracts, which like, makes me nervous. I mean, there was nothing, I guess, wrong with his resume. Unlike many people, he actually wrote a coherent one. But it's this kind of energy that I'm just like, ooh, do we really want to get further involved in the military-industrial complex? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's just the next one that, like, caught my eye. But, like, nothing funny about it. It's just sort of like, ooh, this is scary. And what you'd want to get involved with is probably also scary.
So I found my guy, and the number one reason that I wanted to bring this guy up is, again, like, guys, you really need to proofread your shit before you send it, okay? It's a thing that's super easy. It's not difficult. Everything is normal on this cover letter until about four paragraphs down, where he goes from size 12 font to like size 18 font. So it looks like he just started yelling at you in the middle of the cover letter. And then halfway towards the bottom, there's like two sentences that are back to 12 point font. And then we go like back up to 15. A lot of his cover letter is like conversations that he like anecdotes that he's heard about like various politicians. It's very weird. He asks a lot of questions that I thought he was then gonna answer, but it seems like a lot of them are just rhetorical. You know, so like, why am I interested? How am I qualified for statewide office? Also, not born in Rhode Island, so like, bite me. But then there's just a paragraph that's nothing but questions. Be like, can Joe Biden win? If Joe Biden can win, can I win? How about we should do this? How about we should also, like, It feels like he's writing this cover letter as if he's having like a full-on conversation with himself. And it's weird. Like, it's very weird.
And also, he uses so many parentheses. Like,
yes!
I'm looking at the paragraph that you're talking about that's a bunch of questions, and it's like, I'm interested in tourism, parentheses. The Narragansett Bay coastline is extraordinary.
Yes,
I'm
yes, yes.
I'm interested in this thing. Certainly don't want to do this in parentheses. And I'm like, this is a nightmare. And then there's the whole thing about how he, like, heard something at the Holy Comforter grade school and how you can tell that it must have been difficult because of the name of the school being Holy Comforter. And it's just like, I didn't know what to make of this at all.
Yeah, that definitely confused me, like, to the point where I was convinced that he had spelled his school's name wrong. I was like, no, you didn't mean Comforter. That can't be right.
At one point, I was like confused and was like, oh, is this a thing you made up? And then I was like, oh, no, this is your actual school. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he does. He has a bunch of weird anecdotes. It's worth it to look these up yourselves, guys, if only to make yourself feel really just a whole lot better about how your resume looks. So keep applying to Lieutenant Governor, because this is now our bread and butter. I mean, we might just be... Can We Fix It, the Lieutenant Governor resume show, particularly if Dan never gets his governor job. It kind of feels like he's never going to be governor.
Wait, is the application still open?
Yeah.
As far as I know, yes. I have not heard that it's closed.
Because I truly thought about submitting a resume because I thought it would be hilarious, but now I'm realizing that there's a potential that I'm more qualified than many people who've already submitted. 100%. I didn't realize it was still open. Thank you. I just assumed that, like, you know, there were so many the first time, there just wasn't time to dunk on everyone who truly needed to be dunked on. And that's why there was a part two.
No. It's still, open. Oh, and just so we're clear, we like you, but, like, if your resume is trash, we're still going to drag you. Like, it's not.
Yeah, please.
Like, we need your name, but we will drag you.
No, honestly, if I submit and my resume is bad, I want you to use my name.
Word. All right, we are. I cannot believe how quickly that 45 minutes passed. That was like, this was delightful conversation. We are coming to the end. Jackie, is there anything that you want to promote coming up this week? Is there anything that people should be keeping their eyes out for?
So by the time this airs, I think the first Medicare for All hearing will have had happened, but there are going to be more. If you use Rhode Island Bill Tracker and you like to follow these things, you're looking for Senate Bill 233 and House Bill 5628. There are going to be hearings coming up. We need you to testify. And not to, like, you know, product placement on Twitter, but I will also go through every bill that's coming up and the most important ones that need hearings in really easy way with links for you to be able to sign up to submit testimony. And I would just urge you to testify and get involved. Politicians work for us. We need them to listen to us. And honestly, they get away with so much stuff because no one knows what's going on. So I would just say, find a few things that you care about, follow those, and make sure that your voice is heard.
Word. Well, then Jen and I will go ahead and put our money where our mouth is. And when you do your weekly breakdown of bills, I'm volunteering you for this, Jen. Suck it. We're each going to testify on one that we like, because we're not just telling you to do this stuff, you guys. Like, as Jackie said, we are the bosses of these people. And as their boss, we do have to check up on them on occasion. So I guess that means that we should be adding to the outro. I guess it would be stay safe, wash your hands, go the appropriate way down the supermarket aisles, and hold your fucking elected officials accountable. Just hold them accountable. Right?
Beautiful.
In the meantime,
I would also add, wear two masks. Because instead of a lockdown and taking any of these things seriously, we're just telling people to wear more masks. So, you know, stay safe, wash your hands, go the right way in the grocery store, hold your fucking electeds accountable, and wear two masks. Done.
Jen, have we never added wear a mask?
We said wear a mask, but not two masks, which is recommended now.
No, but have we? But have we said wear a mask though? Because I'm pretty sure it was stay safe, wash your hands, and be a good neighbor. And then we added the supermarket. Did we never fucking bother to say wear a mask?
No, we did, because last week when we had Jeff on, you actually said wear a mask, and we said, Jeff, anything to add? And he said, did you already say wear a mask? And we said, yes, we already said wear a mask. So he said something else, which I don't remember at this point. So. Well, we have said it.
Okay.
Whether it's consistent, I don't know.
I am taking out the be a good neighbor part because I'm at war with my neighbors right now, as Jen knows. But yeah, wash your hands. Wash your hands and hold your elected official. And Greg is going to kill me if I do not finally do a plug for the Uprise podcast, which you can also find on Uprise RI. Which we all listen to and love and totally did not forget to plug, Greg. See, we didn't forget. We just saved the best for last. Tune in. Go to patreon.com/canwefixit to vote in the polls and check out the upcoming episodes. And thank you, as always, for joining us.